Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Good morning. We have several of the area school superintendents on the program today. We're going to be talking about a number of issues and, of course, the finances. That's one of the big things facing schools right now. We have Martin Prout, North Huron School Superintendent, Don Shelkey from the Bad Axe Schools, Robert Smith from Lakers, and Rocky Aldridge from Ubley. Thanks for being with us, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us. Good to
be here. Thanks for being here.
We'll try to be kind to you today. I know you keep getting the runaround from the state level. We're talking finances to start the thing off. It's got to be hard at this point. You don't even know what you're going to get next year. You need a budget in place within a month or so. Is Proposal A working out for you folks? Is it something that really has helped? I mean, you always had the problems with the millage elections before and having enough, but now you still don't have enough.
I feel one of the problems that we have is in the day before Proposal A, when we got into a crisis, we could go to the local taxpayers, ask for a millage, explain what was going to be cut or what wasn't going to be offered, and what advantages our students would get from the enhanced millage. Today, we can't do that. We don't have that tool. We're at the mercy of the state through Proposal A. And then not only are we at the mercy of the state with Proposal A, we're at their mercy as they make the cuts or don't send the revenue to the local districts. And as a result, for example, in Bad Axe, the $470 cut is $500,000 to the Bad Axe budget. And then the other things that come down before Proposal A, a lot of people forget, before Proposal A, the state paid the share of the district's responsibility for retirement. We inherited that with Proposal A. It used to just be paid for by the state. Now it's with local dollars, and everybody knows what's going on with the retirement costs. We're looking at, 24.9 next year?
24 to 27, depending on...
And you throw FICA on top of that. For every dollar we send out to an employee's salary or wage, we're going to add another 30 cents to it. And again, just in Bad Axe's case, the increase in retirement is another $400,000. That we didn't have this year. So is it working? It maybe it worked, and it worked real well for those of us, all of us up in the upper thumb, mm-hmm. that were at the bottom. And not that long ago, we were, being financed, we're financing our schools at $3,400, $3,800 per student, and now we're at $73, and that's real good. But there's a little kicker there, and that is that retirement that wasn't there before that the locals didn't have to raise. So it did a lot of good things, and we were getting the double payment. Remember when we were getting the double payment, mm-hmm. guys? And we were supposed to catch up to the higher finance districts. Now that it's hit, we're getting hit even worse because it's not on percentage basis, it's on actual dollars. So those districts that are getting $13,000 per student, they're only getting a $470 cut, so they're getting a 1% or 2% cut. We're getting a 3% to 4% cut, mm-hmm. because we're only financed at $7,300. So it worked. It's sort of hit us right in the face now.
It's interesting because it's good that you asked that question, because even though that the four of us talk and try to share and come up with creative ideas how we can improve education here in county, we fall all over the spectrum on this issue. And I'm a proposal of Proposal A, frankly, because the money is there and it works. And, all of that Don said is absolutely true. And one of the things I get concerned about is, we politicize and get a mantra going on a topic, public employees, public employees, public employees make too much money, what have you. Quite honestly, when you look at, there are 86% cost of employees. We're in the service industry. Our operational costs are so insignificant. We are 86% because we're all people, teachers, that really bring up the bulk of our cost. And people cost money. We are truly a service industry. And so when you look at our efficiencies here in Huron County, they're pretty impressive. We have, as a Huron County group, probably one of the most efficient groups, counties, I would match us against any, from how we share operations. We involved some educational transit. We all do at this point to some level. We have outside businesses helping us. But when I look at Proposal A, you brought a great point up. There is over half a billion dollars in the school aid fund right now that is being taken out for other vices. And next week, the revenue consensus meeting is going to indicate even more money coming. So the school aid fund isn't broke. I come from a different mindset that is, you don't spend more than you bring in. So we have to be conservative and follow ourselves and get in line. So I think Proposal A does work, coming from 3,200 base to 71 to 73. But we're going to go back to school funding levels to 2004, 2005. It's 2011-12 next, 2011-12 coming up, and 10-11 now, and those cost centers go up for fuel. Take that alone. Fuel is a volatile thing for school buses. Who can predict what your budget line should be? So what do? You book your highest liability. So to that end, and when you look at what our folks have taken as far as a community in home depreciations, what else would we do? I mean, we've got to be real careful, because if you go out for millage, I mean, how much can a family hold when we have the highest foreclosures going on in one of the highest states in the country? So, you know, I think the system works. I think we've become a scapegoat to solve the state budget problems, and that state budget problem seems to be a fluctuating number. It started at $1.8 billion. It's down to $1.6 billion. I heard it announced $1.2 billion. It's going to continue to flourish. So all of us make great points as far as it goes, but the investment in education has to be the number one thing. Every state that has turned their economic prowess around has started with education, and we seem to be going conversely the other way.
Just a small thing here. I would probably fall in the middle. I would say that Proposal A could work. I think the greatest challenges we have, and some of us go back to when all of our local schools were pretty flush. I think Lakers, Gatesville, when it was property-based, were some of the top revenue-producing areas in the state. And for the same reason that Mr. Prout pointed out from North Huron, that funding is unequal at the state level. When you generate all of our taxes into a pool for them to redistribute unequally, I have a belief that our taxes are that we send more of our taxes to Detroit into those failing schools than ever come back to the thumb, and I still believe that's one thing that has to be addressed.
That is a great point. I can factually say that the North Huron community sends more money to Lansing than they get back through their taxes.
Was it like a perfect storm that got us here? The auto industry kind of tanked, and then the state economy went down. Then the feds, and through this whole thing, schools in our area were losing students. Numbers were going down, which is what your money from the state is based
right.
on.
You're right, Craig. Excuse me. The ERA money that came in for the last couple of years, and actually can be extended into next year, depending on how the school chooses to do it, but it gave us a false hope. I mean, we were fully funded at the $7,300 we are this year, but there's about $450 of that, almost $500 of it, that's the federal money that's not coming back.
So it was masked, yeah.
Yeah, it was masked because the federal stimulus money that came through. And I think people just, you know, life went on. Schools were doing well. Our athletic teams performed. The plays went on. The band played. And everything looked really nice. But we've now hit the cliff. And we're ready to jump over the end or fall over the end of the cliff. And a lot of it was a false hope by the ERA money. I really believe that.
I would agree that I think Tom White, you know, at the state level, had talked about a structural imbalance of funding for a few years now and said this cliff would come. And that part of it, the can has been kicked down the road for a lot of years. And statewide, this is a time of reckoning for all of us. Just really kind of an unfair one that we had to give all of our fund away for part of that reckoning.
I'm not necessarily as a propaganda group, but I have to say it. I do feel back in the Proposal A, though, just like I had the opportunity to come out of business in a management position, when our revenue profits were down, we reduced our staff. And I think Proposal A works on that nature. When sales are up, schools are well taken care of. When sales are down, that's how you react to it. We have to cut accordingly. And I think everybody around this table has done that. I can't get off the topic, and I'll beat the horse until you tell me to stop, that the dollars are there. They're just being diverted and taking away from the kids to balance another problem instead of dealing with that problem. If our threshold only allows us, if the state aid and the sales and proposal aid only allows us $6,800, then we need to make the adjustment to $6,800. But I have a hard time struggling when it keeps us flat or it would actually give us an increase this year and we're being cut $470 per student. And, you know, I'll take a shot, I guess, but locally, historically, I'm used to your representatives calling schools and saying, how would this impact you? Now we have to justify our existence. And I'm not sure where that thought process came from. Because, again, if you look at the students from Huron County, we've got Academy Award winners. We've got youngsters that are getting, Student of the Year in their engineering program and a 2010 graduate. We have people, every one of us have a story, doctors, lawyers, just, people honoring our country, in the military. But some reason we just feel that we're sending that schools are failing at a horrendous rate, which it drives me crazy that we have this political banter going and the good people that send their kids to school to learn the basics are getting this mixed message that schools are failing. And one of the messages I think that we all want to send that we've got strong schools in Huron County. We match them against anyone. So we're tired of the politicizing of them.
Do you think that comes because the money comes from Lansing? They maybe perceive you as less of a local school district where we were supporting you, with our militia and all that. And now it's just the state's funding you. You're part of state government, and everybody likes to pick on state government.
But you know what? I don't think you're far off some of the motives I've heard out there. I'm concerned that very statement is, I see that Proposal A and the education fund is really healthy, and there's a group of people looking over there saying, well, I want that because they have that. So how do I get that? Well, let's point out their benefit levels. We'll point out. Absolutely. Every one of us around the table have our employees paying percentages of their health care right now and with caps and co-pays. This myth that everybody gets 100% paid, I haven't seen that in a while in education. So I think you have to create that atmosphere. I think it was a strategic plan to take the money from the get-go. It's a platform right at the get-go.
One of the other things that, maybe is a good point that's happening, and actually it's coming from the feds, believe it or not, but there's a pilot program for title programs,
right,
that's coming out that will give us flexibility with our federal funds. The federal funds were tied to only certain uses that we could use to educate our children. And sometimes in these times that we're in now where we are reducing, and I know that everybody at this table would agree, the bottom line is in education is that teacher in front of a group of students, and that interchange of teaching and learning is what it's all about. The fancy things, technology is great, and reading programs, special reading programs are great, and special math programs are great, and all those types of things all enhance. But the bottom line is the student in front of a teacher, a certified teacher that does a good job. And now with some of these federal funds, which for BADACS is about $500,000, we're going to have flexibility with it. So there's a possibility that in the layoff situation that we're going to be in next year that we might be able to bring back teachers that are actually in the classroom, which is what it's all about. So what Martin
mentioned, exactly at North Huron, we're going to do the same thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I talked to numerous superintendents, not only in Huron County, but in Region 3. We're in Region 3, right, or District 3, whatever it is for title.
Yes.
And that includes Tuscola, Sanilac, Gus, Bay Internet, whatever. But a lot of the superintendents that are looking at this real closely and the title directors are looking at it real closely to get back to, let's get those teachers in front, and we don't need the pull-out programs where a child would go to another classroom to learn their ABCs at a lower level.
What you're commenting on is how regulated we are.
Yes.
I have, raised the bar. We should be challenged every day in every way. But leave us alone. If you're a tier one supplier, you went through it through the 90s, for the auto industry. If you're now the auto industry has to meet, EPA, and we have to do it for our buses and that. Raise the bar, but then don't tie an arm behind my back. Tell me I got to hop on one foot, restrict all my dollars. And this is a big thing for us because by pooling federal dollars, before you couldn't, use it for regular ed program or general ed. You had to create new programs to support it. And now that we can potentially blend this, it'll save employees jobs, particularly a teacher. We've been trained in Huron County, now this is my third year here, that, you know, the work of Marzano that says the most important thing in front of the student is the classroom teacher. And they're the ones ultimately accountable for that child's learning. And that's where we've gone down to the basic block and tackle. And unfortunately, with this big cut, really good employees and really good programs that we like to have are going to have to be seen as a historical thing, because we can't afford to keep them anymore. We have to just do the basic block and tackle. And that's the other reason why that's led us here, is to keep some continuing advancing, we need to rely on each other. Yesterday, Lakers and I had a discussion that we're looking at sharing. I'm sharing my Spanish teacher. I was talking with him this morning, and he may be sharing his German teacher. So we're having collaborative sharing. I know that all of us in this room have some sort of collaboration that is going on. So in essence, for us to continue the pushing the higher academics and success and achievement, we're going to have to share resources. And we've been doing that now for a couple of years. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Is that teacher going school to school, or are you using conference rooms where you have the video? Because sometimes the presence of a teacher is a lot of why students want to learn.
In this case, we're going to be sharing, and they're going to be high-fiving, passing on each other on the highway. Sure. So, we're actually sharing the bodies. Our Spanish teacher will go to Lakers for 2 hours in the afternoon, I believe, and your German teacher will come to North Huron. And what a great opportunity to get a different learning style and share and kind of blend some of the traditions of both schools.
And Don Schalke, I'll let him address more. I've been great with North Huron. Also, we're doing some things with BADEX, which will also be helpful. Let Don address most of those. Really, the thing in Huron County is, if you look at us as a group, we're really smaller than a Bay City school, but have tremendous staff, tremendous resources all over. And if we share them so that each community can keep their local pride but get the very best resources to their children, that's what that's all about.
Well said.
We're certainly, and Don will talk about some of those, but we're excited to use some of the resources of BADEX for their tremendous academic things, the ones out of North Huron. And I think the other part of it would be that you'd mentioned, that I think in-person is really important. But within the next year or so, when fiber optics get put up throughout Huron County, that's going to open up another whole dimension to our sharing. But our hope is that we'll remain collaborative, and yet in unity there is strength.
And cooperative.
Sure,
right.
And cooperative. Yep.
And coming to the thumb, I came from Bay Aranac, and the last couple of years it's been schools competing against each other. We're trying to take each other's students, or we got a better program here, or we do better here, and so on.
Schools of choice.
And now I see it shifting to, it's more of a collaboration of services, and it's not, I don't feel like in anybody, any school district in this room, that we're competing against each other. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We're trying to cooperate with each other. Don and I, with BADEX and Nubly, for example, we've been talking about transportation and how we can maybe share mechanics or transportation director. I was on the phone this morning with Ron Kraft in Harbor Beach, and how we're going to work some dual enrollment classes with his kids and our kids. And so it's a real cooperation versus pumping your chest out and say, hey, we're better than everybody else, come to our school. Bottom line, all of us have great programs going on in our schools, and we all are very unique. And I see that shift, coming from an attitude of competition to one of cooperation.
One I really appreciated out of this group with transportation, be really brief, but one of the things that's hard for taxpayers and us to watch are our own buses crossing one another in school districts.
Right.
So if we have a student in Lakers that has roots in North Huron and we're heading to the edge of our district, we need to take that student to their fine program or to BADEX or whatever to save gas money and these high prices of fuel to be as efficient as possible. So cooperation works at all levels.
Isn't that what the governor was kind of wanting to have happen? More consolidation, more cooperation, less
As a matter of fact, we have to yearly, starting last year, 2 years ago now, we've had to report our collaboration or our shared services. And so that is already there. It's already in place.
Is there a reward system for that in place? Because it seems like unless there is, it's not going to force some people to do it.
Here's the reward. We're going to keep our own district.
Some people think I'm the conspiracy theory guy, and I laugh. I'll take that role. But I truly think if I knew the end game of our legislators, maybe they don't know it, and that sounds a little edgy, but I think there's a concerted effort for countywide schools. I've gone to enough conferences and listened to top legislators and top people when I say top, people of position, didn't say academically or intelligent-wise, but I make comments like, I drove by a school district, they have 200 kids. And I finally would say, stand up and say, well, what's the problem with that? Smaller does not mean less effective. I would argue contrary, that the bigger you get, the bureaucracy happens. All of us here wear multiple hats. All of our employees wear multiple hats. You see the same person. It's kind of funny. You know, once the principal come out, I want to talk to this, and then they come out, and I want to talk to the council. The principal comes out. It's the same person.
Right.
You go to a layered district that has a lot of resources. They end up having lost in bureaucracy. So I wish I knew what the end game was, but there is this thought process, and I don't think, gentlemen, I spoke out of turn, that you've heard that there is a push to consolidate school districts.
Right.
Even though contrary that the research that Michigan State ran, and even if you look at the Maine model, doesn't make it more efficient.
You'd still need schools in all the communities because transportation times would shoot up so much they'd be spending all their time in the bus, and they wouldn't be ready for school when they got there. So you still need the schools. The only thing I could think of that they're going for is to have one like administration,
right.
You'd still have to have the separate high schools, the separate elementary and middle schools, because, like I said, you just can't sit on a bus for 2 hours and expect they're going to be ready to learn when they get there.
We as a county looked at countywide transportation. We get that question asked a lot. We're 880 square miles, and you hit it right on the head. How long do you want a youngster on a bus? And if you have a central hub, without having satellite hubs, a child could spend 2 to 2.5 hours one way in a bus.
Yeah. And you know, but right under our nose is a example of how it can succeed, and that's our tech center. Now these are older students, mind you. You know, these are juniors and seniors for the most part, and some special programs. But those students, those juniors and seniors, come to the tech center here in Bad Axe and receive a great education. Those programs out there are fantastic,
without a doubt.
And you know, we can do that. We can't afford to have auto body and auto shop and construction trades and everything in our small districts anymore. And here and there we hit a pocket, you know, like we might have a little bit of the visual arts program, and we do have some industrial ed classes, but can't even come close to what the tech center can offer by pooling those people. So transportation's bad. I agree. I've seen other places where I've worked where children are on the bus way, way, way too long. But I think those issues can be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they don't have to go every day. I mean, let's think out of the box a little bit. Maybe they can go to the tech center for a full day for 2 days a week, and 3 days they stay back in their home school, and then the next week they go 3 and 2 the other way. So they're not being, you know, wasting it every day.
And you've eliminated 6 trips on a bus.
Absolutely. Now, is that an administrative nightmare for us to figure out? Probably so, but I'll guarantee you the superintendents and the administrators and teachers and everybody else, the school boards in this county, can figure those things out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I like Martin's analogy of the automobile industry. That second tier said, you get your first tier, second tier, mm-hmm. You have to get this done, and you have to get it here tomorrow. We're not going to warehouse anything anymore. Well, what did they do?
They
figured out a way to do it.
That's right.
Way to do it. And we can do the same thing. You know, give us some marching orders and let us figure out how to march them. That's still my concern.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of that local control. Our people know. Our people will support our schools.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about
mm-hmm.
it.
We're going to pause for 60 seconds and we'll be right back.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida? A quiet lake in northern Michigan? Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements.
IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubly, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back, and we have in the studio today several of our area school superintendents. We have Rocky Aldrich from Ubly, Robert Smith from Lakers, Don Schelke from Bad Axe, Martin Prout of North Huron. We want to get on to some of the more nicer topics as far as what the schools have to offer here. Just before we get off the topic of the finances, what do people need to do? Do they need to contact their legislator, let them know? Is it a little too late this year? They've already got budget bills kind of in reconciliation. Is it still not too late to let them know that you don't like them dipping into the funds and taking it elsewhere? How do you want to do that?
I'll save Martin this one. That it's been pretty clear from the message I've gotten from Lansing. They're not particularly interested in listening to anyone that's associated with education. So it really is more important for the regular tax-paying public to contact our representative and state senator and talk about some of the advanced classes, the college opportunities, the academic achievement, and the higher class numbers that are caused to this lack of funding. That's absolutely the ones that the legislators are wanting to hear from. And at this point, they're saying they're hearing from no one. So they're, and truly the message I get from Lansing is they say no one cares because we're only hearing from the educators right now.
So that's what they need to do, is let their voice be heard, democracy in action.
Absolutely. Right.
On some of the topics beyond finances, and I know you guys have enough of headaches for that, college readiness is something you folks wanted to talk about. That term is out there, and in my day, not everybody went to college. You had trade schools, and some people, even in those days, were still going out and finding work with just a high school education. Is college readiness just a catchword, or is there something behind that?
You guys want to hit? I'll take a shot at it, because college readiness just seems to be something that hit the headlines and never defined. College readiness in our state is, and I'll loosely define it, is basically how well your students do on the ACT. Michigan's one of six states that test all of our students, every student, and I don't know how many thousands of students we have in the state of Michigan, but there's a lot. 125,000, I think, was probably a close estimate.
Even more.
It's a regional test. Not all states. Some take the SAT. Some take other regionalized tests. However, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to test all kids. Please don't misunderstand that. But don't benchmark us against the states that only let their top 10% take it. And that's where you're hearing. That's where we're skewing percentages again. If you take our college-bound track students, and you know that's the reality of it, students who really have a goal early on to say, I want to go to college, their test scores are much higher than the student who wants to do a vocational or wants to do something IT or something that may not require a full four-year degree, but maybe a two-year or three-year certificate. Their interest level in the ACT drops significantly. So that's all thrown into one bucket, and it's all filtered out, and then we get a test average, and then you hear everything that only 16% of Michigan schools are providing college readiness. Here at North Huron, our score could probably be 10% or lower, but 96% of our kids go on to some type of post-secondary education. So by the state standards, we're underachievers in school and overachievers in life. And so that's kind of... So we're always beating the odds, but I know the reality. I have great students, great families, and they go on and become very strong contributors to society, and it's not based on some political headline.
I could just get a quick one. It's a soapbox, so you guys can hoot me down on this thing, but I've always had a belief that God gives us all different gifts. For instance, if they ask us all in here to dunk a basketball, Craig, probably you and Don... Rocky and Martin are a lot better suited than I am to get off the ground. And in the same way, I think it was crazy.
Bob was a lineman.
a lineman, absolutely. I'm thinking that the governor, the whole state made a colossal mistake 4 years ago when they said everyone can go to college for employment. Because I'm here to tell you, the same Chinese person can replace you for 25 cents an hour for a college degree, too, so that if we had stayed on the career pathways model that they're now starting to look toward to say, you know, that the college students should become college students, and the ones that want to go into electronics, air conditioning, computer program, go on that kind of a career pathway track. That was a wonderful initiative, and college readiness is great, but everyone gets different gifts, and not everyone is ever going to be ready for college.
That's a great point, because in Bad Axe, I just looked at our numbers for about the last 5 years of our high school grads that were going on to colleges and universities, and it's 65%. But there's another 25% that are going on to community college and to tech schools. And I mean, I have some classmates from high school that made a heck of a lot more money than I did, and they went in that tech route, you know, and I went into the four-year degree route, and they were doing a heck of a lot better and contributed a lot to society, to their families, and everything. And so, no, you don't have to go to U of M or State or Central and get a four-year degree. But by God, you know, you go to a tech school and become an electrician, become an IT person, become a bricklayer, and learn those trades, and we're going to need them no matter what. And those people do very well. And they're contributors. They're positive people for the communities and for the state and the nation and the whole ball of wax.
Who doesn't like their tradesmen in a crisis? Electrician, your plumber, and you know their rates are, they're well worth it when your toilets are backed up and your power's out. And we need to encourage, and, you know, one of the things that we have talked about in our informal meetings is a step further, we need to encourage, there's a lot of research what's happening to rural America. We're encouraging our kids to run off and go get all these diplomas and leave. Well, that talent needs to come back home so they can keep the generations going and open up a business. And, you know, maybe there needs to be some opportunities if you are a local to come back and start a small business or set up practice or, you know, start your electrician shop or plumbing shop here. And I know I've missed someone, but, you know, frankly, we got to be careful that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot also, because you want to encourage people to come back with those skill sets to take on the next generation of Huron County.
Absolutely. And again, I know I mentioned earlier, but that tech center that's out here,
phenomenal.
If you haven't
phenomenal.
Been in it, right. Go there. Go talk to the administration, whatever, make an appointment, and just get a tour of that place in operation and see what these 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old maybe students are doing out there. I mean, they're building cars, they're building windmills, they're building electronic
nursing
devices.
Police, you know, all these things are in the hopper, and it's exciting.
Yep, and they're ready. They're going to hit the road next year as seniors, and they might hit the road, you know, with a $20 an hour job, very possibly, or with another year of training, hit that job at that level.
Which brings us full circle. When they go to take that ACT, they have a career path already set,
exactly.
So they have less interest of performing well on that test also. Not that they're not smart students, they just, there's not an interest to them.
Is this where guidance counselors come into play so much? Seems to be one of the areas that kind of get cut first, but these are the people that are cluing these students in who want different jobs, maybe in the trades, what they need to get there.
We're all required to do a career pathway with a guidance counselor, not a guidance counselor. We have to do, what's the program, gentlemen? It's a career cruising and different things. We at a very young age in junior high school, and so.
But what I wanted to do in junior high is nothing. But
I tell parents, and I'll tell parents. I'm glad you brought that up. They panic because their senior doesn't know. I mean, I have five kids, and I have two boys in college, and you know, then they still not sure. And I always say, if they love the sciences, take as many science classes. If they love language arts or reading, explore, because I know, you know, I've got a 21-year-old now who just kind of had an epiphany and said, you know, I think I'm going to go into the medical field of some sort. I'm like, well, thank God. Well, you know, why don't you start doing something? But he's been, you know, in college, and the other one wants to go off and follow, you know, be an educator. But, you know, they're 19 and 21, and it's still now coming into to play what they want to do. I don't think youngsters do know. I think that they feel they have to know, which creates a lot of stress for them and also stress for the parents in the pocketbook when they change majors in college often.
And well, it also goes full circle,
though,
too.
In junior high, though, the job you end up with may not even have been created
Absolutely.
Yet.
Absolutely.
Right. That's what I was going to mention, full circle. That our idea of where you can start for GM and work till you retire, young people are going to change many jobs. Our job, exactly what Martin alluded to, is to have them study the things that interest them and make that a lifelong learning, you know, to make that kind of progress. Because that's, I think, going to be as important as lifelong learning. I mean, lifelong learning is the most important. Look at our local community. We probably lead the world in efficiency in agriculture, and not every farmer went to the University of Michigan or Michigan State, but we do a phenomenal amount of farming here with a reducing population, which impacts us at schools as well.
And a lot of science behind it, with a lot more yield mm-hmm. than there was 100 years ago.
Absolutely, sure.
And, you know, who would have thought, you know, back to your question, love guidance counselors, don't misunderstand this, but who could have planned that I'm going to be, 4 years ago, that I'm going to be an app engineer for all the smart technology? I mean, we're, you know, like you say, but if you say to somebody, you love the sciences, take as much science, you know, go on and take organic chemistry, take engineering classes if you like that, take as much math, it leads you into those positions. So,
and what you may have wanted to go into might not even exist, and new technology would have changed it completely.
Oh, absolutely. It's, right. it's,
we're preparing kids to be ready for jobs, as you said, that don't even exist yet. And as Bob mentioned, too, they're going to change careers. Last figure I heard is like 28, 33 times in their life. You know, they're constantly job.
So we need to produce a higher level thinker, a resilient learner, and people that are good decision makers. I mean, that's ultimately where we're going to. And the information retrieval, the fact of sitting and trying to lecture out of a textbook, you have to differentiate your instruction, because that textbook, like, look what's already happened already. I mean, Egypt's a different country, you know, Libya's, everything's changing so fast we can't keep up on it.
We're not many years away in Huron County where people will go to Bad Axe, Ubley, North Huron, Lakers, as well as our cooperation that if students work on their skill bases by 10th grade, they'll have completed a lot of their high school requirements and get their first 2 years of college at one of our local schools. It's changing.
And we are a proponent of that.
Absolutely. Sure, absolutely right. We are.
But mm-hmm. if a student, let them fly if they want to fly. I think there's a lot of models even at the elementary that allow students who are good at math, you know, don't keep the walls of the grade level down. Let them go. And we're offering, for example, and I know some of my colleagues already have it, next year will be the class of 8th grade Algebra 1 that our students can take for high school credit. And where that's new to us, but I know it's not new to some of my colleagues. Because, you know, if they can do it, what are we holding them back for?
One of the things, you know, we're talking about the outcomes, and that's ultimately our goal as a K-12, as K-12 districts. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what you've just hit on, Martin, is the elementary. And the elementary is fantastic compared to what it was when I was an elementary student. I mean, we're doing things in kindergarten that probably I got when I was in second grade. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, it's amazing what these teachers are responsible for at that level and doing a great job. And these children come out and they're ready. They learn how to read so they can learn by the time they get to the middle and the high school years. And it's, again, it's like what you said, they're going to be, we're going to have college people ready because their junior and senior year, they're going to be taking college classes. Where I was before, invariably we had at least one student that graduated from high school that already had a semester of college in, and about every other year we had students that entered their sophomore year of college when they got out of high school. It's not anything necessarily new.
No.
But we need to start doing more of those things. But back to the elementary, one little anecdote I'd like to I can remember our daughter coming home, first grade, whatever, and I came home late probably from work, whatever, and she's sitting down reading the paper. Now, somebody taught her how to read. Mm-hmm. I mean, her mother and I did our things. But a public school taught that six-year-old how to read. And I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is this why a well-rounded education is so much importance? We kind of focus on what's on the MEEP tests, you know, because that's what, you know, the state tests on and you graduate from. But a well-rounded education is what you're going to need to make the changes, Wes, as you may go into a different field, as you may take a different path than you originally thought.
There's absolutely no doubt about it, and that's the stressors, and I can't help but talk about the finances because there's enough research to fill this room that students who participate in some kind of fine arts or band, they usually have higher academic outcomes. But yet, those are the programs we have to look at reducing and cutting because when we get the financing, and that's a stress. We, as a county, are trying to hold on to a core value system. I don't care if you're at Bad Axe, Lakers, or Ubley. This is what makes our schools what they are. And we're going to hold on to those. Now, the delivery may change significantly. That doesn't mean that it's going to look the same. I mean, you've seen, we've got iPads. Bad Axe has iPad. They have whiteboards. Harbor Beach is doing crazy ahead of all of us in technology, and we're catching up. A lot of learning. And they're getting the results. And because these students are information retrieval, they need that stuff. We're video streaming. We're doing all those things. So that full-rounded education is just looking different. If that it's the old watch that used to be wind-up that's now battery-operated or now solar-powered. So I don't know if I summed that up enough. But
I think so. And if I had to echo yours, Rock and Don, that the critical thinking, I think you'd mentioned that, Martin, how much information is out there, that the critical thinking that we all teach and the other benefits going to be out of all of our cooperation when they get to that 10th grade. If some of us now have a teacher that doesn't have a full-time schedule, and I know Bad Axe, for instance, has a tremendous English teacher, and you have some tremendous things in Spanish, Ubley in English, that if we have part-time teacher schedules for some of those college courses, now suddenly we can collectively pool our resources so that we all can get the very best instructors for our students locally for college preparation as well. So it really, I think we do have a long-term plan.
We're getting a little short on time. Are there things we haven't touched on you want to make sure we get out?
Well, locally, just for us, and this is a selfish North Huron thing, that our last day is June 8th due to the snow days. We get that asked a lot. But no, we appreciate you having us. Hopefully we've added some clarity to some of the issues that you hear. And we encourage our parents to call us, get involved, and as much as possible. If you can't get involved, call your legislator, call a board member while we still have local governance, I guess.
I appreciate you taking the time today. Again, they can get a hold of you and your respective schools, and not just the parents, anyone in the community.
Absolutely.
It's your school. It's your your area children that are being educated that we all have to look out for each other in this. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Our guests today on the program have been Martin Prout from North Huron Schools, Rocky Aldridge from Ubley, Robert Smith from Lakers, Don Schelke from Bad Axe. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.